the day after game number one. And our Stanley Cup coverage is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. Great lawyers available 24/7, 314-645-4400. A full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, and their great website, stlcriminaldefense.com, will answer any question you may have for any offense, small or big. And they are the exclusive sponsor of these reports with Chris Raby and our look at the Stanley Cup Finals. Again, presented by Henderson and Watercutty. Their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. 4-2, the final last night. Chris Raby of KMOX Radio and the Blues Radio Network. Let's get your initial thoughts. What did you think?
Yeah, Dan, I thought it was a good start for the Blues, especially after the layoff to come out and, you know, have an opportunity on the power play and then score 7 minutes into the game. And, you know, I did think you were playing with a little bit of fire the rest of the first period, having to kill off a couple of Austin penalties. It's kind of what we've seen. The Blues can be prone to taking some stick penalties in the offensive zone, but, you know, they kill both of those off, are able to get the goal by Vladimir Tarasenko a minute into the second. But, you know, after that, it was pretty much all Boston. And I know that the Bruins ended up on the extreme end of the penalties that were called, and the Blues could have had a couple more power plays. But, you know, let's be honest, Boston dominated 5-on-5 after that Tarasenko goal made it 2-0 Blues. The Blues had a couple of opportunities on the power play. They had one in the third period about a minute and a half after Boston got the go-ahead goal to make it 3-2. Barely even got a look at the net. So, you know, I think the Bruins just outplayed them in game one. It's something that we've seen a couple of times in these playoffs. I think that, you know, if you want to look at the glass half full, this is a Blues team that's been great at regrouping and responding. But holy cow, I think you're seeing why Boston is where they are right now. I think you're seeing the skill of their forwards, just how not just deep they are, but the speed they come through the neutral zone into the offensive zone with. They all seem to be connected. There's a reason these guys have played so long together and had so much success together. And, you know, last night was a thoroughly round one to the Bruins.
I would also say, and you mentioned it, their speed in the neutral zone, but just in general, their speed across the board. That really stood out to me, number one, more so than anything else. That's what stood out to me. Their speed at moving the puck was incredible last night, and that's something the Blues have to make an adjustment with.
Yeah, they really are. And I think that's just another reason why you need to stay out of the penalty box, because not only are they fast 5-on-5, but they're really going to inflict some pain on you when they get to the power play. And I know that, you know, they only converted one power play goal last night, but a team with speed like that, if you have to chase them around the rink and you're killing off, you know, 10 minutes of penalties, that's not a recipe for a comeback. And it's not a recipe for an already shortened bench with your guys that you're relying on special teams to go out and try to get back into that game in the third period. So, yeah, I saw a lot of self-inflicted wounds by the Blues last night. I think correctable stuff. You know, this team has done a really good job of making adjustments and coming back and correcting mistakes, especially when they happen to be self-inflicted mistakes. But, man, Boston, you know, with all due respect to Winnipeg, to Dallas, and even to San Jose, I think Boston's a different animal. They're really impressive.
They were very impressive. And part of that, you know, is puck control too. And I thought in the first couple of periods, the Blues were a little bit better. They got away from it in the third, especially after that, the third goal to make it 3-2. But you got to have puck possession. And we talk about that, and you hear it all the time, and it sounds cliche. But if you don't have puck possession, that means you're not having a chance to move it. You're not having a chance to shoot. You're not having a chance to score. Puck possession in game two will be critical coming up.
Yeah, and I thought that, you know, especially into the third period when the Blues were chasing it a little bit, there were a lot of one-and-dones where you were getting into the offensive zone and the Blues were either trying to get through the neutral zone and dumping the puck in, and then Boston was simply getting possession and then getting right out of the zone. So that is not something that is going to lead to any success against a team like the Bruins, especially, excuse me, with a goaltender like Tuukka Rask. So you're right. You've got to figure out a way to spend more time in the offensive zone to try to wear down Boston a little bit And then, you know, as you're moving your feet and you're spending some time in their zone, maybe that's when you earn some of those penalties. Like, I know that, again, fans can grumble about, you know, this call was missed or this call was missed. I am generally of the opinions that that stuff evens out over the course of a playoffs and over the course of a series.
I agree, yeah.
You've got to earn those penalties. And last night they just weren't. Like, you know, whether it was 5-on-5 or even on their power play that happened a couple of minutes into the third period, I think at one point I counted there were 17 consecutive touches by the Blues in the Boston zone without getting a shot on goal. That's just – it's not good enough. And it's not good enough when you're trying to get back into a game. So you're right. You've got to establish a little bit more in their zone. And, you know, it's just playing with aggressive discipline. And that's something that I think we've seen this postseason when the Blues have been at their best, but certainly didn't see last night.
I am proud to add to the website as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients, and this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again, and really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. stlcriminaldefense.com. Check it out. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I thought when the Blues had their 2-0 lead, for them to win this series, they would have to steal game one. And I thought this could happen. Even though they might be outplayed from here on out, even though they've got a 2-0 lead, Bennington has been so good, he could steal this game. I thought it was imperative that they win game one. And I'm not saying they can't win the series, because this has been one of the most resilient teams I've ever seen in hockey for the St. Louis Blues in their history. And as you pointed out early on, you know, they've had a chance to bounce back, and they've done it multiple times. But up 2-0, boy, that one stings a little bit, because you're on the road in game one, that 2-goal lead, you're feeling pretty good. And then, again, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. But as a fan, we do, or as those in the media say, boy, if they steal this, the pressure's on Boston in game number two. Now it reverses, because the pressure's on the Blues to try to steal one, and I bet the Bruins in game two come out flying.
Yeah, I bet they will. And, you know, you split the first two against Dallas in that series when you started at home. You split the first two in San Jose, including that 6-3 loss, although I thought the Blues really were kind of buzzing late in that game and had a chance, more so than I felt they had last night, to come back into that game. But, you know, I do think that, you know, without speaking too much in cliche, this team has just been one that's really been able to make adjustments from day to day and come back and respond. And, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, I don't think it will be an effort thing. I think that Craig Berube and his staff will be able to get some of the corrections made that they feel like they have to make. I would hope you play with a little bit more discipline and you're not, you know, sitting in the penalty box for, you know, 12.5% of the game or whatever, 15% of the game. And, you know, that you're able to try and make life a little bit more difficult for Tuukka Rask and Boston. So, yeah, you certainly don't want to come back 0-2. If you can steal either game of the first two in Boston, I think you're in pretty good shape, especially with a couple of days off before Saturday. And, yeah, I give them a shot. Like, again, I was impressed with the way they played the first 21, 22 minutes of that game, and then it just kind of got away. I think Boston kind of found their stride after the first period. I think both teams kind of know what to expect now. And yeah, if you're the Blues, I don't know what Berube will do lineup wise, but you've just got to hope that you can clean up some of those issues like you have over the course of the postseason and try to get one before you head home.
I don't know about you, and we'll wrap it up here, and then we'll have a visit tomorrow to preview game number two. But it was surreal for me, having been involved in the Blues for a number of years as a broadcaster and certainly as a fan all my life. It was surreal seeing the Blues in the Stanley Cup final and watching the national anthem and the introduction of the players. It was awesome. I don't know about for you, but it was surreal for me.
Yeah, wasn't it cool? And I was over at Enterprise Center hosting the pregame and intermissions. And
yeah, what was that like? Give our fans an idea what that was like.
It was unbelievable, man. I mean, you're talking about it's 5:30, 2 hours before the game is even going to start. And, you know, there were folks in the seats just watching the board. And there were, I don't know, 15,000 people there, a sellout of all the tickets they made available for the watch party last night. It was loud. It felt like a game, other than the fact that there wasn't a game being played in that building. So it was really cool. And just, you know, for fan, even like driving around the arena last night as I was headed over there, it looked and felt and sounded like it was a Blues game day. And, you know, I think that's pretty darn cool. So, you know, I know the Bruins had a scrimmage and a big deal was made that they sold out a scrimmage. Well, the Blues have now sold out a couple of times a building where there's not even a game being played. So it was cool. And I know a lot of people are just enjoying the ride and enjoying the experience. It did feel like a Blues game because folks kind of got a little tense there in the third period when Boston took the lead. So, you know, it was really cool, as you pointed out, to experience it and be part of that last night and realize that, holy cow, it actually is the Stanley Cup final. And the hockey world and the sports world have their eyes on St. Louis and Boston now. And, you know, regardless of what happens tomorrow night, hopefully a win and a series that's tied as you come back to St. Louis. I can't wait to see what it's going to be like on Saturday and Monday for Blues fans who have waited half a century, who have waited their whole lives in a lot of cases for something like this in St. Louis. So, yeah, it was cool, and I think everyone's just ready to fire it back up and do it again tomorrow night.
Quick follow-up to that. Watch party, I assume, tomorrow. Where can you get tickets? I'm not sure if you know that. I guess stlblues.com, but do you know where the money goes to of the tickets you're making? Is it going to charity or is it the team just keeping it? Or, I mean, how does it all work?
Yeah, tickets are available at blues.com, Dan. It's $10 or $5 if you're a Blues season ticket holder. And the proceeds from the sales benefit the Blues for Kids Foundation. So obviously a great cause. There are some discounted food and drinks. Obviously the full in-game production, everything, you know, feels like you're at a game and there is a game going on, and they do a really, really good job with that. So you get them on the website. I know that last night actually sold out by Sunday morning. So I'm sure that tomorrow night's tickets will go very, very fast, but yeah, $10. Doors open at 5:30. You can get in a couple of hours early. Enjoy the evening, help raise some money for Blues for Kids, and you better hop on quickly to blues.com, stlouisblues.com, and get those tickets before tomorrow night.
Chris, this is a lot of fun, presented by Henderson and Watercutty. I appreciate your time, and we'll catch you up tomorrow and preview game number two.
Absolutely. Talk to you tomorrow, Dan. Thanks.
I am proud to add to the website, as an exclusive sponsor of Ben Fred Fridays, the St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. As many of you know, I'm proud to be from St. Louis, and Mick Henderson and Steve Watercutty are from St. Louis. They call it home. Their firm is the premier criminal defense firm in Missouri and Illinois. So being from St. Louis, they want to help people from our region. And all you have to do is go to their website, stlcriminaldefense.com. That's stlcriminaldefense.com. Now, on that website, you will see the countless testimonials of people who they have helped over the many years that they have been doing work for people in the region. On the site, there are frequently asked questions, categories, and a wealth of information to help guide you through the process of figuring out how to make decisions
to protect your rights. And it doesn't matter how big or small the case. They're known for their communication with their clients. And this is why. You can reach them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they have a proven track record of handling your criminal defense and traffic needs. The St. Louis-based criminal defense firm of Henderson Watercutty. The website again. And really, go to the website. It's incredibly easy to navigate. STLCriminalDefense.com. Check it out. That's STLCriminalDefense.com. Or call them anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day. The number, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.